Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Inkwell. I'm your host tonight, Lisa Lift, and I'm joined by the fabulous Lady A. Hey, Lady A, you got me here? Are you listening? There we go. Hi, Lady.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. My thing seems to be moving a little slow, so we're going to have to stay on top of it tonight. But let's get the intro started. And this is Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network, and we are sponsored by Raw Links LLC. Why be average when you can be raw? I got mine. Lady A, you got yours?
Always, always, yeah. Beautiful jewelry. Yeah.
Absolutely. I wouldn't be caught without it. And sending out a big thanks to the CEO of Epiphany Radio and also the creator and CEO of Raw Links, For Real, the poet Douglas. You can get Raw Links anywhere you can pick up anything. You look up for Raw Links on Amazon and on Facebook. And if you can't find it, then give us a holler. Any of us can put you in touch with him and make sure that you get your Raw Links on. Okay, so if you want to join us tonight, the dial-in number is 319-527-6300. And if you want to join us on stage, press that 1. We absolutely have a lineup for us tonight. I see folks popping in, and we're going to get things underway here. So the Inkwell's main question for all of you is, what moves your pen? Bring us your pieces and tell us why you wrote them. So, Lady A, did you bring us anything tonight?
I did. I brought a kind of a different poem, a darker poem. It's called Grandmama's Poupée. Poupée is a French word for doll.
All right, well, I'm going to step back from the microphone, and the microphone is all yours. Have your way.
Okay. Thank you. Lost doll once adored sits dwelling in loneliness, neglected, forsaken, absent of a child's touch. Swallowed in ebony night shadows, haunts lurking in the dust, she blinked, remembering no moments. Fragrances in lavender drift in from the wind. The aphrodisiac smell of leather filled small cellar. Thunder booms and lightning claps as the storm continued to tell its tale of crying children and monsters in the dark. She stares at silver-colored skies, watching stars winking from the edge of her windowpane, wonders trapped inside her French bisque poupée. Mademoiselle was gifted cassette by Grandmama, a stiff and stern woman with little tolerance for les enfants, especially her own. When angered, to the cellar they were thrown, mice and rats their toys and kept them warm. So what if they bite? They learn to quell the terror in different directions. They play to keep them sane until the day they parted ways, never together again. Only Cosette remained in the cellar that smelled like leather. End poem.
Wow. That was pretty graphic. I like that. I could almost see the face of the doll.
Lisa, I can't hear you really, really well.
Okay.
So I'm not sure why, but
is this any better?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. There, that's better. Yes,
right.
Thank you.
I said I could almost see the face of the doll as you spoke.
Yeah.
What brought you to?
Well, I wrote this quite a while ago. 3 years ago. It's kind of a combination of, you know, my parts of my childhood. It's metaphor too for, you know, the night shadows and the monsters in the dark, so to speak, and just kind of a poem that's written with those memories in mind, and I just made it about somebody else and the doll.
Okay. All right. That was really, really creative. I enjoyed that.
Thank you. And how about you? What did you bring to treat us with this evening?
I was kind of thinking about how oddball things can happen that will bring people into your realm, I guess is the word.
Mm-hmm.
So my piece tonight is called,
hear it.
My piece is called Chance Encounters. Funny how you could have a chance encounter that changes your path. A kind word in passing, a smile on the street, a joke on an elevator. You never know what is destined. What does it hurt to be open, to make yourself available to the positive energies of life? Suppose you wore a smile every day. How would that change your course? If you gave yourself a reason to see the glass half full, could you understand the residual of positivity it could pull? So consider your impact as you move through life. The tiniest disturbance on the surface of the sea has a profound and lasting impact on the shore. Believe that. And peace.
And that was a really excellent message. And what caused you to write this?
I think it was trying to bolster my own self out of my own negativity.
Yeah, it's a really a positive poem and encouraging people to, you know, step outside of whatever experience they've had and change their own ways of doing things. I think smiling and being kindness goes a long, long way,
and it
sure does. And I think we sure need a whole lot more of it that we have in this whole world that we live in. And it starts with one person. I don't know if you've ever seen these YouTube videos where somebody gets on the subway and they start singing, or one person will, and everybody, you know, then it's like first thing in the morning and it cheers everybody up to start their day, or somebody will start laughing, like it's a they're planned situations. They start laughing, then pretty soon everybody's laughing, and it's contagious. Happiness is contagious, and this poem is reflective of that. I really liked it.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm trying to, it's part of my plan to, you know, that thing that if you want positivity, then speak positivity. So I'm trying to get myself in that mood because this time of the year is usually kind of dark for me. So I'm trying to be more optimistic.
Yeah. It's a hard time of year for many people, isn't it? It's you know, the loneliness sets in, and you know, if there's no family involved or, you know, friends, it's very isolating for a lot of people. And come on over to my house.
We'll
have Christmas dinner.
Have some Christmas
only
dinner.
Only if we could, eh?
I know. I wish it were that easy.
Yeah.
Well, I see some hands raised, so let's see if we can get somebody in before we get to that half-hour mark. We've got Sinister Spittle sitting here.
There, I'll let him in the room there.
Good evening, ladies.
Hey, Sinister, how are you?
I am what I am, and I can be what I am. It depends on what part of me you talk to. It was present at the moment.
Uh-huh.
But regardless, even when I'm low, I'm high vibrations. It's all good.
Oh, good.
Well, Sinister, we're asking tonight, what is it that moved your pen? What did you move to write today?
I move to write every day. 20 pieces in the last 14. This is Fractured Apparitions.
Okay, well, let me step back out of the way and give you the spotlight. The mic is yours.
There's a hole inside this man. I wear it out as it dotes me like drawn plastic ring. I figure to put peripheral illustrations of my long drawn out fee with my wanted. A time of soft sighs blanketing the down of my syndrome, scattered in static musings of misthinking, absent of lacking storms, brunt of storms raging on the left cortex side, wild, 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 hearts breaking on the gone of yesterday. I sing melodic enchantments to signal desperation's fight through vaulted valleys, ripe with rotted fruits of shame, bent on the seat of hope, calling wayward towards a home I once knew, truth to refresh weary minds, ravaged by fear of new sled, painful engagements, but we forgot our name, making penance loudly in the cave of where things end, on sidewalks of glass, kissed frantic, frantic, frantic by stone. I skip into oceanic diatribe of miscued views, dapper on sore traveler's sisters, desert eyes have never seen such deluge. Portside trip issued to poor angels. Never have the mouths been dried, been cured of ailments like this one. Oh, brother, dear Lord, comparatively tragic. Seconds devour the hour's grace, stealing love's demeanor with brute flagrance. Unrest to suggest lush endeavors that inebriate the blues, driven low scowl, come back blues. Song stance of wrong impressions to touch the imposition of a guarded inquiry is flaw. Back outshine durations of canals, sequestrament, one side dig, backward. Fall the spring, gentle sensations and tattered gifts, right of arms bore in the infatuation of lasted waves. As it's what you get when challenging the bacon of one's contempt, your karma reeks ill, wafting perfume of that one chosen to wear in the assault of this infringement. There, it was there. We lost ourselves, lost in tectonic delusions. What did we lose in the hell? Mockery, breeze, and peace.
Wow, there.
Go ahead, Lady A. What you got for that?
Well, yeah, I'll leave the question that you can ask him why you penned it, but I'll just say that this piece here is you have, it's almost like listening to a play when you read your pieces, and there's always inside of here, I find you inside these words that you use and these metaphors, and it's a beautiful way to express something by using metaphors to say the simplest of things, and you dress it up with your language that you use, the words that you use in your pieces. And you talk about, you know, the whole being inside of you, and there's always that missing piece and the heartbreak. And, you know, looking back, so you even touched on the home that once was, and being lost in the world that you live in right now, and paying the price for whatever is haunting you. And I really, you know, it's almost like I want to hug you, because your soul is dripping outside of yourself, and you can tell by the way you're speaking and you're orating and the forcefulness that you with which you read these pieces. And this was you know, about, and I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean about you being lost inside of yourself and knowing that you are lost and that there's pieces missing that you're looking for. And did you want me to ask the question, or did you want to ask him the question?
Sure, go ahead.
Like, what caused you to write this piece?
Well, I asked that earlier. And it's sometimes hard for me to answer that question because I write so much. but they all teeter on the same thing. And what this really is about, this is about me, you know, here I am now with 22 years in the back. And I'm in this position, really comfortable with myself. I'm not cool with me. I'm lonely. But how do I ever know the trust and the openness to be there again with such deceit and such wronging done? And I understand my arrogance on accounting for all that shit. Now I have to let all this shit go to bed. It's fucking haunting. And this is just like, you know, this is the light end of what I deal with on a basis of assimilating and filing and lighting fires and this shit.
Yeah. It's very powerful how you write. It's very revealing and powerful. What did you think, Lisa?
Yeah, I've always had admiration for the strength and the pageantry to the pieces that you present. You have this way of drawing us into the story and making us feel the wind and see the images as you fit them.
Exactly, yeah. It's a piece to dive into, that's for sure. Like, there's, you know, to read it along, like, you would see even more than what you see as he's reading it. It's, you know, you have a real powerful presentation. And it's a smart one, too, because you really have to pay attention to his poetry, like, to, you know, listen and read between the lines. And he's quite. You're quite talented.
When I started writing poetry again after a 10-year hiatus about 7 years ago, when Citizens Photo was born, people are like, you got some great lines, and I'm like, all the great lines are already taken. I'm like, no, you can make your own, and I held on to that, to that encouragement. Of always evolving, always changing. And, yeah, I talk about the simplest things, but I'm not going to speak about them, basically. What the fucking point of that? Everybody's done that shit. And that's not the way my mind thinks anyway. So, you know, I'm all in, always. Sometimes it's painful, but I'm always all in. Love you, ladies. Thank you.
Love you, too. Thanks for calling in.
And we enjoyed you. We're going to usher you on over to the Spill Lounge, and I hope you stay around and enjoy the show for a little bit. Okay? One love, one mic.
One love,
one mic.
One
love, one mic.
Wow. Wow. I love what Winston comes through. He always brings the power with him.
Absolutely,
Let's see if we can get this first ID in, and then we'll get to our next caller, okay?
Okay, sure.
All right.
Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network, presents poetry in all different genres and formats. Sunday night is the Inspiration Factory with your host, Paul Sampson, a.k.a. Divine Inspiration, co-hosted by Van Meadows, a.k.a. Poetic, Chantel Archibald, a.k.a. Infinite Myasia, 9 p.m. And then on Monday nights, we have the Get Down with the Dirty Duo, Van Meadows and Akil Ali, the Just Us League, and guess what, you, the Epiphany Guest Poet Host. Monday nights at 9 p.m. Tuesday nights at 9 p.m., we have the Hurt Locker coming at you with...
Network. And if you want to come and join us on the stage, the dial-in number is 319-527-6300, and press 1 if you want to jump on that mic. Lady A, I think we're ready for our next one. Are you ready?
I am. I'm going to let him in the studio right now. We have C Double. Hello.
Oh. Hello, ladies. How are you?
All right. How are you?
I'm still stuck on the Maxwell and Alicia Keys song. I feel like I need some hair care products from the 1970s to let my soul glow, something like that. I don't know. Every time I hear that, it's like I'm hearing Don Cornelius from Soul Train. I don't know.
I never thought of it that way, but it does have that kind of vibe.
Yeah, I told you I think of these things, so this is what happens.
Lady A, you want to bring him onto the stage tonight?
Yes. What in the world can we look forward to this evening with you? Did you bring something special? And what moved your pen?
I want to say I did bring something special, and this piece is called Enough.
Well, when you're ready, we're ready for you.
Thank you, ladies. I need you to be enough for me, where my mind and eyes don't wander. I know I need you to be enough for me, where in my mind I know you're not an adult sex doll, my DNA bucket or cockpit. I'm imperfect and vulnerable. You knew that when you met me. I wish we didn't start in sexual sins. I need you to be enough. Where there's no comparisons to another woman or women's attributes that magnetically attract me like you've done. I hear subliminally through poetic lines how they like to be satisfied in collaboration with my creative license. My imagination gets compliment from their fascination to where they're captured and captivated, their fantasies regenerated, wishing for your erasure in their prayers. I need you to be enough as God's place soulmate creation for me. I'm struggling with this condition of salivation, of sweat descending down your body in my present state of wanting you now. I'm in the midst of prospective suitors rooting for you to lose your mind so they can take your place and heal what's broken inside me. I gotta trust that you are enough for me. The subsequent substance of honey that keeps me company. When things are abruptly uncomfortable, I come to you. I come completely for you. I'm not after their bumps and curves. I'm desiring to never become accursed by Jezebel, Delilah, and those who aspire to ride me for their triple crown until I expire from existence. Be enough for me, where no woman can claim your position as mine. Are you enough? That's that piece.
As always, CW, you can bring the thunder whenever you come through.
I try.
I love your pen. I do. I love your artistry altogether. The pieces that you reworked and put out for us are amazing. I'm looking forward to hearing all the stuff that you're putting together for your end of year.
Yes. Yeah, that's coming up in a few days. I'm going to be starting like 3 or 4 of them. But yeah.
Okay. All right, Lady A, what do you got for this piece?
I like how what you called it enough and that you need her to be enough for you and to for you to feel, because you revealed yourself here a little bit too about having someone, a partner, a mate, a lover, who can help you heal what's broken inside. And that was quite revealing of your personality and your being. And it was really beautifully put in to be someone's enough so that no one else can claim that spot in your heart. And I thought it was quite lovely in that sense for sure.
Thank you so much, Lady A. This piece,
you're welcome.
What moved my pen on this piece is the fact that you come to a conclusion after learning about yourself that don't ever say that you will never cheat on your woman or a woman can't cheat on their man, because you're a human. You're adult. And this is why I said this, because sex is in love, and what made her attractive to you, there's other women out there that's got that same thing. And if they know what you're good at, like for example, me with the poetry, me with the music, and they get attracted to that, that's temptation, that's competition. And that's why I said I need her to be enough for me, not just my sex toy. I need her to be fully enough. But then again, I have to be enough for her as well.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
It has to be, you know, it can't be one-sided. Anytime that it's one-sided, it's bound to fail.
Right.
CW teaching lessons tonight.
Well, I'm always learning, always growing.
I appreciate
you sharing.
And I think
it's, I'm glad that you said that too, that you know, she has to be enough for you, but that you have to be enough for her. And, you know, that's a two-way street, and, you know, two people trying to put their lives together. I mean, it's a shared experience, and you have to be able to reciprocate what you expect for yourself. You need to give back to your partner. I like that you said that.
Well, hope somebody gets it. So thank you much.
Thank
you're
you.
You're welcome.
All right, C-Double, let's go on over here. Let me usher you on over and make sure you get a comfortable spot over in Phil.
Yes, also I got to make sure I get some curl activator so I can shake my head like I'm ready for the world. Oh, Sheila.
All right, C-Double, one love, one mic.
One love, one mic.
One love, one mic to the both of you.
Thank you. Wow, he was inspiring.
Absolutely, that was beautiful. And it's something that I've kind of been discussing with a couple of friends about relationships and the reciprocity that has to happen. So it was right on time for the things that I've been dealing with.
Yeah, right. It's true. Like, so often, I remember one time that I knew a person who that were talking about relationships, and he had a girlfriend, and he was talking about himself, you know, I need this, and I need that, and I want this, and I want that, and he was very demanding in that sense that he expected to have this, all of his goals met within this relationship. But when I turned it on him and asked him questions with regard to him giving her the same kind of treatment or experience, he's like, no, that's not, it was all about him. He wasn't, he wasn't willing to give of himself to her. And all too often, some relationships can be like that. Only one person is giving and the other one just expects to get it all and not give back.
Yeah, it can't be that way. It's got to be both of you or it's going to soon be none of you.
That's right. Hit the road, Jack.
All right, I see one of our own here. We've got the beautiful Ms. VIP. Hey, Mrs. VIP.
Well, hello, ladies. How are you?
Doing
great.
Good.
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. I might not sound that way, but I'm good.
So,
yes,
let
sound
me
a little bit
you,
better, yeah.
Yeah. Let me ask you the question. What moves your pen tonight?
Mm-hmm. Ooh. You know, I had some flashbacks this week, and they weren't the happiest, you know, like flashbacks of your life, you know, if you ever, you know, done that, different episodes. And I decided to write about it.
Okay.
So it, you know, it's sad, and then it ends up happy, and I'm good about that.
Okay. All right, well, me and Lady A are going to get out of your way. We're going to step back. Let me adjust the spotlight. Get you centered up right here, and the mic is yours.
Thank you. This piece is called I Cried. I cried. Cried for the little girl who had anxiety, feeling she couldn't leave home, fearing for her loved ones if she did. I cried for the little girl who was molested and felt dirty, acted nasty to hide the pain and shame, feeling she couldn't tell anyone, not even her mama. I cried for the teenager who was name-called due to her shape. She played in high school and cried for her sore feet and muscles as she ran track and played basketball. She got used to living with pain. I cried for the teenager when her paternal grandmother died and her bio dad lost his mind momentarily, kissing her on the lips, leaving her incredulous in her overwhelming grief. Remembering, he cried too. I cried for the young lady who, while in college, had a cruel joke played on her. She wanted to quit and go back home. I cried for the young woman who thought joining the reserves was a good idea, then got deployed to Desert Storm and has incidences of PTSD to this day. Death made her cry as she learned to live with it because she knew deep down who she belonged to, and tears wouldn't bring anyone back. I cried for the mother whose child had problems and shook her foundation as a mother, as a woman. But she got counseling and taught herself to be strong no matter what. I cried for the woman who endured two marriages that ended in failure. She grieved when the first one cheated, then made the mistake of marrying again to someone with so much drama and issues. It was a relief when it was over. I cried when the one who really loved me died. I was by myself once more. I cried for the lonely one who had been alone for over 10 years, casual dating, getting tired of being an option instead of a choice, to being more lonely, compartmentalizing the despair, until I didn't have to cry anymore. Love came and rescued me from survival, to live again. He's my hero, best friend, my strength, and love of my life. There is happiness and joy. I cry no more.
That was beautiful. That was absolutely gorgeous, Ink. The line that you said about the line you said about being a choice and not an option, and that mm-hmm. resonated with me in a way I can't even explain. Having been through marriages mm-hmm. and watched them fail, no matter what I did.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing in one case in particular that I was the choice because I fit the bill of what his family expected, not because there was a great love affair. And, so that really hit home with me.
Mm.
Lady A, what you got for that piece?
Mm.
I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. I read from the beginning to the end, and this little girl inside of you, and your ability to be so revealing in from the beginning of your memory to now, and how
mm-hmm.
you learn to comfort yourself with all of these nightmarish experiences. As a child, being molested and then being a young teenager, and we're all searching at that age with, coming back from serving military with and having PTSD. And, the history of your life, I'm assuming you're talking about yourself. Forgive me if you're not, but this is what it seems to me. And to cry about, there's so many of us out there with these exact same experiences that you've been able to share, and losing a husband and being lonely, and being lonely is almost worse than grief when you have or you feel you have no one, and then you found love again, and how beautiful to know that he's he rescued you and he's your hero and a best friend and the love of your life, and to have that opportunity in this stage of your life and experience it in such a beautiful way is amazing. I think this was a lovely, beautiful poem.
Well, thank you, ladies. I appreciate it. It took a much for me to spit it.
Yeah.
I've never been spit before, so I had to bring
it
on.
Wow.
It's beautiful.
You had nothing
to be grateful for.
Yeah, it takes courage to be able to speak about these things, and they're not just words. There's feelings and history behind the words, and you've been brave enough to share that, and I think it's and looking backwards from where you are today, how wonderful to be able to feel
mm-hmm.
that you're in a place where you're happy and safe and
absolutely.
Feeling so loved
yes.
and giving that love back. I just think it's
mm-hmm.
amazing.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
So, Mrs. VIP, what do you have going on Epiphany
yes,
coming up?
Ooh-wee. well, as a certain poet would put it, life was life, but my diva, La Pearl La Negra, and I are back next Wednesday at 9, hopefully, for the Divas Talk. And we talk about a lot of topics. Some of them are deep, some of them are lighthearted. And it's great poetry, good music, and we just love it. So y'all come out and join us. And I always say, don't beat us there. Don't meet us there, beat us there, huh?
All right. Well, I appreciate you coming through and bringing us that brand new ink. Lady A, you want to escort Ms. VIP over?
I sure will.
All right,
let's
ladies.
Go.
One love, one mic.
One love, one mic.
Okay. All right. We're moving right along here. This time is going by quickly. What do we have up next, Lady A?
Well, we still have two people on hold. There's one that's not got their hand up. So if you're interested in sharing a piece of poetry with us tonight and you don't have your hand up, just press the number 1 on your phone and that will put you in the queue. But we do have somebody else, and it's area code 424. I'm going to just say hello.
Hello, ladies.
Hello, 424. Who is calling tonight?
This is Anthony Arnold.
Hello.
Well, hello, Anthony Arnold. I am so tickled to have you here.
I told you I'd make it eventually.
Yeah, you did.
So here I is.
So welcome to the Inkwell.
Thank you.
And our question to everyone is, what moves your pen?
Well, for me, the majority of the time when I'm writing, it's because of our history and things
okay.
that have gone on. And things that have gone on that people don't know about. So I try to enlighten as much as I can and get you to the point where you want to go and find out more about the topic that I've written about.
Okay, so you come to teach us.
Sometimes. Sometimes.
All right, so Lady A, you want to usher him to the mic?
Yes, and I'm looking forward to hearing what you're going to bring to us tonight. I always enjoy your poetry, so when you're ready, we're ready too.
Okay. This was a piece I wrote here the other day, and Miss Lip said it sounded dangerous. So I figured I'd do that one. Piece called Top Dog. I am someone you don't want to mess with. I sit here with this Chardonnay waiting for the next move. I get the feeling it's not going to be pretty. Top dog. I told them under any circumstances, don't mess with her. But you wouldn't listen. Now I'm going to have to show you. I've been doing this for a long time. Death doesn't scare me. But when I'm done, it just might frighten you. So I sit here drinking this wine, not to raise my courage, but to lower my anger. Remember, you brought this on yourself. You could have left her alone. Now you will deal with me. A force of vengeance. A top dog. And it's a piece.
Woo! When I read the piece, when you had posted it, I was trying to imagine how you wanted it delivered. And now hearing you speak it adds a whole nother layer to it. That warning, that gentleman's warning that allows you to understand that if you cross the line, everything about me is not gentlemanly. These hands will work. I love that piece.
I'm glad you did.
Your voice resonates so beautifully. I love that piece, and it hit me differently hearing you speak it. Lady A, what you got for that?
I love your poetry, Anthony, and I really like this one. Now, my interpretation of this particular piece is I see a father speaking to someone who's trying to, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, I could have that wrong, but I was, at first at least, I thought it was a father warning his son to stay away from a particular girl. Or it could have been maybe even with the father of the girl, but to warn them that, you know, this is not a good thing to get involved in either way. And if you do get involved, Papa Bear's going to be on you like a duck on a June bug. And now, you know, the top dog is very military to me as well, and the force that person's going to have to deal with is a force of vengeance. But it spoke to me as though you were the protector of this young person who went ahead and didn't listen, and now is paying the price for it. That came clearly to me. Am I hitting it on the head, or is my so far left field?
No, you're not in left field. Actually, you're very close. The way I wrote it, if you looked at any of the Taken movies, if you looked at any of the Equalizers, it was somebody that was close to them, and I guess to get back at the person, they grabbed somebody that was close to them, and he had warned them, you don't want to mess with them, and they didn't pay any attention, and they did, and now he's on the warpath.
Yeah.
And he's sitting back drinking, like he says, he's not drinking to raise his courage up. He's drinking to try and mellow out, because who knows what he might do if he doesn't.
Yeah. that comes through quite that this, you know, the writer is the protector, and as I said, it reminded me as a father figure protecting his own child, an adult child, and you know, the anger that can come with a situation similar to that when you're trying to protect someone, whether it's a child or a friend or a family member, it's easy to get wrapped up in that anger, and in case you, you know, you don't want to go to jail for it, so you're going to sit down and relax for a few minutes to kind of gather the thoughts. But I thought you spoke to that very, very well in this piece, and I could see, because of the title, you know, and your military background as well, it, you know, you could see that the strength came from that, the discipline to gather your thoughts so that you wouldn't be so angry, to lower the anger level was quite evident. This was really well done. It was a brevity type of poem, but it was powerful, all kinds laced in there.
That's one of the things that I admire about your pieces, because I tend to get caught up in the story and I get too wordy sometimes. You have this succinct way of telling the story without it being 6 minutes long, and that's a talent in itself, to be able to express yourself in a few words, you know, and have that impact.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I appreciate it. I've always been one that like to get to the point, so to speak.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate you coming through.
May I ask him a question?
Sure.
Do you find that your military experience has changed your points of view on many things in your life? Like, did you find the discipline within the military, the acute type of thinking about situations has made you a different person over the years?
Yes and no, because being in the military is a completely different animal unto itself.
Mm-hmm.
And most, if you've spent a long amount of time in the military, a lot of people have a problem with the lack of structure in the civilian world, as opposed to being in the military.
Mm-hmm.
Lack of structure, lack of discipline, especially for those who spent more than 20 years. I did 23. But the thing about it was, with me, I didn't come in straight out of high school like a lot of people did. I think can be a detriment, because it's the only thing you've ever known. And once you come out of it, it's like, okay, now what? In my case, I didn't go in until I was 5 days from my 25th birthday. I had gone to school. I had worked in the civilian sector. So when I went in, I had already seen how the other half lived. So it wasn't like I was coming straight out of my mom's house and then I'm going to another type of structure. It's like, because a lot of people, I mean, they go straight from their parents' house and going to the military. It's almost like you've gotten a second set of parents.
Yeah.
And you grow, but you
live
grow,
your life a little bit.
You grow, but you grow differently.
Hmm.
So
I was
in the
militia when I was young, and
and
I really felt that, even looking back now, all these years later, I really feel that that was a terrific experience. Simply for, you know, the discipline alone and their teaching of being responsible for yourself and your actions and your words and that sort of thing, I think is invaluable. I think, you know, without saying a draft or anything like that, but I think that young people should spend a couple of years in the military just to kind of get their feet under them as an adult before they go out into the world, because you do learn a lot of different techniques and ways of being an adult and being a responsible adult. That was what I took away from being in the militia.
I will say this. The military is not for everybody.
No way.
Because I've seen people go into the military and end up being put out of the military because they cannot adapt.
Oh, wow.
You have to have a certain mindset. Because think about it, depending on where you are, when the crap hits the fan, they expect you to run towards trouble instead of running away from it.
Yeah.
And for some people, they can't do that. So, I mean, it's a good experience, but it's not for everybody. And that's something you have to deal with from within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you think you can do it, have at it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like I say, it's not for everybody, but, and it's changed over the years because of stuff like 9/11 and that type of stuff. But you just have to be ready to accept what goes on. And as we all know, you don't come out the way you go in.
No.
So you have to be willing to sit back and think, do I really want to do this? And if you do want to do this, can I survive the everyday things? And especially if you get deployed.
Yes.
Now you're in a whole different animal. So, it is what it is.
Yeah, that's
some.
What did they used to call, like, they have a PTSD today, but during the time of the Second World War and the First World War, they called it battle fatigue. And, and you know, that was going on way back when. And it's a hard, that in itself is, because you, like you say, you go win one person and you come back a completely different person. And it's got to be so, so difficult to deal with at times, I'm sure. And, but, you know, without people like you serving, where would we be, you know?
Somebody, if it wasn't me, it'd be somebody else. There's always somebody going to step up to the challenge. So, I mean, it gets done.
Yeah.
Well, I want to say I thank you for your service and for stepping on our stage tonight. It's always a pleasure. Lady A, you want to escort Mr. Arnold over to our lounge?
Yes, come with me, and we will have a tete-a-tete conversation about worldly things.
One love, one mic, y'all.
One love,
one mic. Wow, he brought us a lot of knowledge tonight.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get another ID in, and then we'll get back to this list of callers. How about that?
Sure.
Lady A, we are just about 51 minutes away from being out of here. And so let's invite in everybody. If you're listening, to the Epiphany Radio Network, the For Real Entertainment Network, sponsored by Raw Links. And if you want to join us, the dial-in number is 319-527-6300. And if you want to jump on stage with us, feel free and press that 1 and come join the fun we're having here on the stage. I think Lady A, are you still there with me?
Yes, I am right now. Yes, it looks
okay.
Like we've got 3 people on in the queue. Oh, one just put their hand up, and the 2 other ones have not put their hand up yet, but we sure hope that you do. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I still hear you. Let's get over here to area code 501-563. Who do we have on the mic?
Hey, this is just Jay. How y'all ladies doing tonight?
All right, okay. Jay. How you
I'm doing pretty good. Was checking out my homeboy Frequency's feature he was doing, and I had to break away to go ahead and get over here and check y'all out. How y'all doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I appreciate you coming and joining us.
Yeah, y'all was on my to-do list tonight. Because I know I had to start getting sporadic and had started missing y'all shows, so I had to go ahead and be intentional about it. If I don't be intentional about something, I tell you what, I will have the best intentions for a long time.
I know how that goes.
He does it on purpose. No, I am not. I promise you I'm not doing it on purpose. Well, I'm not doing it. You're stupid. But it looks like I'm doing it on purpose.
Well, I want to know what moved your pen tonight.
Love been moving my pen. It's been moving my pen for a minute. I've been really enjoying it. I think it started with me and my wife starting to date again. And I've been wanting to get back to it. It had got to a point where I was would look for a love poem. I only had, like, the ones that I had. I wasn't writing any more love poems. And I was like, okay, I'm going to write a love poem today. And it's not that easy to just sit down and write a love poem.
It's not that easy for me because I know how I can do it. So if I don't go into it with the right mindset, it doesn't come out right. But for people who have never done them, oh my goodness, I've been seeing some bullies writing some very beautiful love poetry.
Yeah.
Some
true
very
love
beautiful
poetry. It's kind of difficult. Yeah, true love poetry is hard because if you don't know what true love is, how do you write it?
Shoot, you know what it's supposed to do. You know what it's supposed to be. You know when the person ain't showing it. So then you know what it is.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll give you that. Well, how about this? How about I get out of your way, and we're going to let you stand in the spotlight and tell us about some true love. How about that?
Oh, shoot. I don't know if I'm going to do all that, but I'm going to go ahead and get this fixed. You didn't put too much on this camel's shoulders. All right.
All right. The mic is yours.
Appreciate y'all. Where's that place where love like autumn leaves crunch and go, like a wind blown out on the breeze? Down the trail, I think love went this way. But love slipped me, treated me frigidly, and dipped down a winding path, leaving me wandering on a track that has long since went cold. But she did not allow me to freeze, because even love that is cold still can live from the air breeze when it is shared in a shiver between two. Two bodies stiff like bricks rubbing while teeth are chattering and knock, and lips spew steam like a Campbell's soup's dream. Having you here is good. Two diligently searching each other's person, absorbing every swatch of warmth, causing more intense shivering, writhing out forms in a blanket, insulating, generating the jigger joes until two souls start to glow like coals in perfect efficiency, intertwined in woe. Bodies once stiff now shoulder roll like kittens nestling into optimal position. If love is an action word, is there a greater love than this? As sleep starts to bray its nocturnal bray, two sticks well rubbed and rattled, now smolder like embers ready to brave a night in December. Knees bent, backs arched, all limbs poured towards the shared center. And this is how two stayed warm on a cold night in winter. Poem.
Okay, now. That was kind of sexy.
Sure was.
It was skirting the line a little bit. When I was writing, I was like, yeah, it could be, like, real easy right here, and I had stayed away from it to try to see if I could make it through the end of it.
So what inspired that piece?
A person's situation had reminded me of a time where I had to do the same thing. And I knew all the movements of the staying warm in that manner, in that fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of like had put myself back in that place again and was like, all right, if a person is laying here with me, what's going to happen from here? And then it started moving out from there to the point where, you know, the blankets and the sheets start warming up and they were insulating the two people and, you know, just the whole process of two people keeping each other warm.
Okay. All right. I like that. I like that. You got a bunch of layers to you, man.
Yeah, I try.
Lady A, what do you got for that one?
I really like this one, and I liked, to me it was like a metaphor for relationship even, not just that it might have been an actually a cold night, like trying to light the embers again, light the fire again in a relationship. And I loved how you said when the fire began and then it became embers, smoldering like embers in a cold night in December. I thought the sing song, the lyrical sound of that sounded so good, and to stay warm on a cold night in winter. I really like this. It was very lovely. It was a beautiful poem. You could picture it, these two people trying to stay warm together and keeping their relationship going. Keeping the fires burning in that relationship even, so you can read it two ways. It was really nicely done.
Hey, you picked up on something very key in there that I had even forgot about. In the beginning, it was basically, you know, talking about how love was skipping and getting away and the rest of that. It could be like in a bed, you know, when both people are not receptive. When you make an advance, then, you know, love moves away.
yes.
But when it's life and death, you know, go ahead and make that amends. You know, even though love had grown cold, you know, two still can live in a shiver when it's shared by two.
Excellent. Yeah, it was really, you know, it packed a powerful punch being a brevity, too, and I really liked it. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Welcome.
All right, so Jay, I think I'm gonna be the one to lead you over here into the spill.
Uh-oh. Watch out.
I don't know what you might want to drink over there tonight, because you always find the oddball thing to want.
On the top shelf. I'm always taking it off the top shelf.
Okay. All right, well, we got some top shelf stuff sitting over there waiting for
Uh-oh.
You. Thank you for coming through. Now tell us what you got going on Epiphany.
Oh, we're going to have a major interview coming up. We're working out the details on it, but we're having a major interview coming up. It's going to be one or two great people the next month. For the Just Jay and Gina show, we'll have some great interviews lined up. And we still going to play the poetry in between it. And we have been getting loaded up with some good poetry, love poetry, heartbreak poetry. Oh, my God. You guys, like, we're about to go ahead and do this, y'all.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to get off my duff and do some stuff. I found a little spot I want to go hide out in and shoot some poetry on to film and to do some audio tracks. So you're going to be getting some stuff.
Sweet. I'm looking forward to it. You too, Lady
Absolutely.
A.
Yeah. You know, I hope that I can get on Epiphany okay, but, you know, your other clubhouse and things like that, I can't get on it. I don't have a cell phone, and they don't have that program for landline, so I'm missing out on the stuff, but.
You probably can, if you have a computer or a laptop or something. Oh, you don't have a laptop either, do you?
Yeah, I have a laptop, yeah.
Well, you can at least listen to them then, the same way that we do with Epiphany.
Okay. I'll have to talk about that, how it's done.
Yes, ma'am.
I'll send you a message.
All right, Jay, well, let's get over here. They got some ice in a glass waiting for you to pick off that top shelf.
Oh, yeah, give it to me off the top shelf. Talk to you in a minute.
All right, Jay,
thanks,
one love. Man. One love.
Yeah, that was a beautiful piece.
Yeah. Let's see if we can get this next caller in. Lydia,
okay.
You got this? Okay.
Yes. Yep. Hello, 515. Who do we have on the phone?
Hello there, ladies. This is Paul Crown, the poet. How are y'all doing?
Oh, hi. Great.
Hey,
you?
I'm good. Enjoying the show.
I'm glad you came through, man. I love it when you come in.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Oh, man, I'm feeling this vibe. I was listening to Just Jay just now. It's like, man, that dude's amazing. Like, he's an amazing artist.
Yeah. And, well, I would say it takes one to know one.
I'm humbled. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, lady, are you asking the question this time?
Yes, I will ask you the question, and it is, what moved your pen tonight, and in general, what moves your pen?
In general, what moved my pen is I found that my pen is a source of peace for me. Without it, I feel like my whole mind becomes, like, it gets into shambles, and I give myself too much time to get within myself and start thinking the wrong thing. So poetry, for me, what moves my pen is the fact that I know peace when I have my pen in my hand.
Wow.
So then what moves your pen? That is powerful. But what moves your pen for the piece you brought us tonight?
Thinking about some things that my grandfather used to say. Like, he had a slick way with words at times, but he also brought lessons with a lot of things that he said. So if you can look past the joke of what he said, you will understand the lesson that's supposed to be learned.
Okay. All right, well, Lady A and I are going to step back. We're going to get out of your way. Let me get the spotlight in the right spot. Cause...
So this piece is called Things My Grandpa Used to Say. So I remember somebody walking over to my grandfather and asking to borrow some money. And the funniest thing came out of his mouth. He said, "Loan you a little something." "Shit. What you did with your check? Sell it?" I found that to be extremely, extremely funny. And it was equally funny when he looked at that same person with a giggle and said, "Now why are you sitting up there with your face all twisted up, looking like you smelling the shit that you talking?" Things like this used to just keep me laughing all the time about my grandpa. But one of the most important things he told me was that sometimes you just got to take the fucking. See, these are words my grandpa instilled in me at an early age, teaching me the lesson that everything does not deserve a response. So in other words, sometimes you have to let people make it. And not because you are afraid of them, but because you should really be afraid of you. My grandfather, who is now among the ancestors, was a very strong and wise man that demanded respect with each and every step that he took on this plane, which leads me into another very important lesson he taught me, which was, as a man, if you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. And that is why during these times, the fucking I am just not in the mood for. I am too tired. Maybe I have a headache. I have any other ailment that you can think of, in hopes that you will have the understanding that I am not going to accept what you're trying to give me. And if you need any further clarifications, I'm basically telling you that I have become celibate through all of the bullshit. So the fucking, I just can't take this time. I cannot undress my truth and expose what you may feel as a vulnerability, just for you to try to attack it with lame excuses and ill-prepared lies and a weak-ass effort to justify unjustifiable homicides committed by those who hide behind the thin blue line. I just can't. I cannot set an atmosphere where you are comfortable explaining why it's okay for an alleged traffic violation to turn into a racial confrontation, resulting in another man wrapped in melanated skin to die behind a discrimination-type situation. I'm begging you, please, please don't touch me. I am not in the proper headspace to allow you to grab my wrist and try to put my hands behind my back so you can force me to submit to the bullshit you're trying to present. But the information you did transmit had a lot of facts that you did omit, like what was the reason for the stop? How can you go into an apartment and not realize that it's not your apartment?
What is it about me that scares you so much that reaching for your service weapon is the initial response for every conversation with me? These unanswered questions and many others are the reason I unapologetically refuse to continue to just take the fucking. Be honest with you, as far as I'm concerned, I feel like it's your turn. So take it, just like we did. In peace.
Woo! That was powerful. And, you know, I in another lifetime, I produced news. And so watching the news nowadays, it's like turning on the TV and then waiting for my heart to stop to see what's happened now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those kinds of pieces just really bring home to me how much we are not considered when the law has the gun. You know,
right.
Too many of us have died for no reason whatsoever, especially when it comes to younger people. I think of Tamir Rice. I think of, you know, the young people that have passed away over nothing because somebody assumed something. And when I was a kid, I used to laugh at some of the old sitcoms because they would make this acronym out of the word assume. Whenever you assume, you make an ass out of you and me. But nowadays, that assumption is taking people's lives.
Yep. An assumption of no more making an ass out of you and me. An assumption now is putting 14-year-old little boys in caskets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and people that are not doing anything that's against the law, or people who aren't even armed, are dying at the hands of police simply because they fear the melanin in our skin, not because we've done anything that deserved that. It's a strange time to be alive sometimes. I spoke on that on a piece that I wrote a while back, where I'd heard a statistic about it was the 100th day of the year, and in that amount of time, 290 black men had been killed by police. And
wow.
So that was like 3 people a day had been killed for no reason except that they were in a position where they shouldn't have been, maybe, and the police feared them.
And, like, I was trying to explain to a friend of mine, you know, like, you really have no idea, like, what it's, I mean, he doesn't know. Like, he has no idea what it feels like to wake up, to get yourself prepared for the day, and to walk out of your door and to think that a police might have a bad day and this will be my last day.
Mm-hmm.
I have to live with that. It's sad. I have to teach my sons to, like, feel like that. Like, man, look, go to school, just go straight to school, come home. Like, I go to work, I come home. I live in a place I consider pretty safe for me. Like, out here in Des Moines, Iowa, like, there is nothing out here. And I still mm-hmm. feel like, go to work, come home.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's a myriad of reasons why you can walk out of your door and never come back. Mm-hmm. You know, I likened it, when I wrote the piece that I did, I likened it to slavery days where women would send their husbands, their men out into the field, and whatever might have set Massa off could end his life, and he wouldn't come back that night.
You're right.
Yeah. It makes my heart hurt to think about it. I am so, like,
I fear for people who are raising, especially sons, in this time, because, you know, black men are almost considered a weapon. Almost when a black man steps out in his own power, it frightens people, and suddenly you're a target. Lady, what do you got on this one?
Oh, wow. I'm quite moved by the whole thing. I can only imagine what this is like. I live in a different country. I'm not saying that there's no prejudice here, but it's not as open, maybe. You don't see it as blatant as it's seen in the U.S., being from Canada. And I think it's a terrible, it makes me feel a tremendous amount of shame when I hear something like this, even though, like, I'm not participating in anything like that, but it makes me ashamed that there are people who perpetrate this kind of prejudice on the black people, on people of color, and I don't understand it, and it makes me angry. It makes me very angry, actually, and I can only say that you've presented this piece in a very matter of fact and in a powerful way. The injustices that have been perpetrated are just enormous, and I can't even, I would like to say I'm sorry for everything that anybody's ever inflicted on you, and I don't understand it, and I never will, but I think talking about it, writing about it, speaking about it is important. You have to, because something has to give. Something has to change. And, you know, I have some ideas, and maybe they're naive, but I would like to think that, you know, if we could solve the issue of poverty and the hopelessness that goes along with it could be valuable. But I think, too, on a different, completely different level, you know, the gun laws in the U.S. are, you know, everybody's scared of each other because you don't know who's going to shoot first. And it's just like a free-for-all with the guns. And so these kinds of things need to be addressed. This is really just, it's insanity. And just the prejudice alone is just, it's so heartbreaking. And I'm sorry that anybody has to go through this. And I met a poet, another poet, and she was weeping when she was telling her story, and it was along these lines about getting in her car and she got stopped, and she was explaining how terrified she was, and that she was conscious of keeping her hands where the police officer could see her hands, and if she were to go, I'm going to go and get my purse, I'm going to go in my purse, I'm going in the glove compartment to get whatever he was asking for, so that she didn't make any sudden moves that he would have reason to shoot her. And it was really quite an emotional thing to see her crying and feeling how, just exactly what you said about walking out of your house and not knowing if you're going to come back in the door later on. I mean, it's got to be enough to cause such extreme anxiety. I can't even imagine. And but you got to keep talking about it until it stops. And, you know, it takes a lot of courage to tell the truth, and it's hard to listen to, but it needs to be said, and you've said it well.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. I'm glad you really, like, you both really understood, like, the whole concept of the peace, and I really, really appreciate that, Humble.
Yeah.
You're most welcome.
All right,
Papa. Keep writing.
What do you got going on Epiphany for us?
Well, the last Tuesday of the month, I'm more than likely be revamping the show a little bit. I got to get with Big Bro, the legendary Poetic, a.k.a. Van Metal. We host a show every last Tuesday called Cram Sessions. I got to do a little thing, get everything going so we can have everything ready. But it will be the last Tuesday of this month. Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network, presents Cram Sessions, which is sponsored by Raw Links. Why be average? You can be raw. So tune in to us the last Tuesday of this month and every month from here on out for Cram Sessions.
Absolutely. I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you coming through. You know I'm still a fangirl.
Oh, thank you.
All right, well, let me lead you on over here. Let me lead you on over here to the Spill Lounge, and maybe you can save a drink for me later.
I got you.
All right. One love, one mic.
One love, one mic.
One love, one mic.
Lady
wow.
A, we've had some amazing stuff come through here tonight.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can hit another ID here, and then we can kind of wrap up things because we're getting close to the top of the hour here. So let's get another ID in, and we'll move forward from there.
Sounds great.
I just took my socks off. Take them off. I just took my socks off.
Take them off.
I just took my socks off.
Take them off.
At Epiphany Radio.
Okay, so we have had some amazing stuff come through here. Do we have anybody else in the queue?
There's a couple in the queue, but they don't have their hands up. So I would encourage the area code 515 and area code 502 if you want to share in the proceedings tonight. Please press 1. And there's a new caller that just called in, too, and I'll get to that if you like.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's area code 323.
Hello?
Hello. Welcome to the Inkwell. Who do we have calling?
Thank you for having me. This is Urban Voodoo, live and direct.
Hey, Urban, I was wondering when I was going to hear you.
Yeah, you know, I live in California. I'm a little bit behind everybody. Yes, ma'am.
Well,
thank
I
you
really
for having
appreciate
me.
Making your way in tonight.
I appreciate being able to ask this, if I may share.
So question of the night is, what moves your pen?
The struggle in all the various forms and fashions, you know, whether it be the struggle of the 9 months that a woman carries a child, or the struggle of the 18 years that child has to grow up, or the struggle of the man who has to take care of his family or the woman. You know, that struggle in all these various fashions and forms, because we all have one.
Okay. All right. So what did you bring us tonight?
This poem is called Skid Row.
Okay. Well, I'm going to step back from this mic and let you have the spotlight. The mic is yours.
Thank you. We simply shrug our shoulders in contempt, pretending to advocate for the meek and frail. A concrete trail of tears, pioneers no longer revered, sleep silent in broad daylight traffic. The cemented mattresses and tattered tenements are sites for sore eyes, so we freeway fly, then complain about traffic. Poor and combative, the sorrow has them comatose, falling deep into that sunken place, alive while dying, and you motherfuckers want to argue about Cosby and Trump. Fuck them. Niggas are sleeping on concrete on Obama Street, 5 blocks from where the drama meets up on some gangbang politics. The F in future only tells me that we're foolish and fucked. This word becoming redundant. But I can't help but notice the impotent pinch of poverty, where a meal is a novelty for some and kindness is a scarce. Life is an empty soapbox of despair. Welcome to Skid Row. A place where the slow pace of bureaucracy plays chess at the expense of the distressed. Rats rummage through cardboard coffins, feeding off the flesh of the walking dead, and cockroaches rejoice with no worry, keeping 100 while only 99% sleep tireless. Welcome to Skid Row. End poem.
Wow.
That was powerful, man. You know, people have a blind eye to the people who are not living at their means. You know, if I'm making okay and I see somebody doing badly, people tend to ignore that, because to acknowledge it acknowledges their responsibility in it. That piece just really resonated on that point to me, that there's so many times when we could reach down and make things better for someone, but we are so caught up in our own selves and our own lives that we miss the point and we miss the opportunity. Because sometimes the person you're stepping past could teach you a lesson that you would never learn anywhere else.
Absolutely.
Lady A, what you got for that one?
Yeah, this was really, really powerful. And, you know, I'm glad that you touched on poverty, because the hopelessness that comes along with that poverty, and consequently people are ending up on places like Skid Row into drug addiction and everything, homelessness and, you know, alcoholism and mental illness. And it's just a really... Oh, man, it's so, you know, it's just everywhere. It's massive. And I think then you had this one phrase, you know, where kindness is scarce. It's almost like it's disappeared from society, that we have people who are afflicted are looked upon as lepers instead of being looked upon as you know, for us to help, for everyone to help each other. And it's just gone so far to the right that you can't even see the ends of the line, you know, and you really put it in perspective.
Erwin, I so appreciate you coming through. I don't get to hear you often, and I appreciate your art so much.
Thank you. I'll be back around more often. Trying to get it back to
you. I appreciate it.
Anybody
Lady
else know how to find me, you can always find me on Facebook. URBNBUD.
Okay.
Thank you so
right,
much
Lady
for calling in, and I'm going to escort you over to the Still Lounge, and we can discuss all of these issues and see if we can come up with something.
Yes, ma'am. This
be a I still look through at the world through rose-colored glasses, so I still believe there's an answer to all of this, and we need to start implementing some stuff that is for the benefit of humankind. So come with me and we'll solve all these issues.
All right, Erwin. One love, one mic.
One love, one mic.
I didn't catch that.
Wow, that was something else. That was, wow.
It was beautiful. Looks like we got one more in here. We got 13 minutes. Here a little more, a little less than 15 minutes come before the show hits the Blog Talk Lady. So if anybody's in here, you're listening in,
Now's the time to call in, 319-527-6300, and press the 1 if you want to join us on stage.
We have on the line now, area code 515. Welcome to the Inkwell. Who do we have tonight?
Hi, my name is Taylor.
Taylor. Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I'm a little nervous. I'm not going to lie. I've never performed on anything like this before.
Well, you're amongst friends, so not to worry. Just spill your heart, and we're here opened with open hands, and our heart's open to hear you.
I appreciate that.
All right, Taylor, the mic is yours.
All right, this one's not a common view on mothers, but it's called Dear Mama. Dear Mama, you love playing victim, and you know what, Mama, that's okay, because I don't mind being the villain. You say I'm a bad daughter because I left you, but you don't tell them what you put me through, how much it really took me to stand on my own 2 feet and tell you to go fuck yourself. You ain't tell them what you did to both my physical and mental health. You've only ever cared about yourself. I've been crying for years. I probably doubled your body weight in tears. I can't forgive you because I remember all the rooms that lacked your presence, the courtrooms, the hospital rooms, the funeral homes. They didn't matter to you because they didn't involve drugs, money, or sex. Maybe it's just me and my existence that didn't matter to you. Either way, you have no chances left. I don't understand how you plan to have me but not actually take care of me. You never once came to my defense. Half the shit I write about these days involve you because I'm bitter for having to do it by myself. I'm mad as fuck I'm a planned pregnancy, but you'd rather be put up with a child molester than your own damn daughter. I made my own wealth, and I take care of my physical and mental health. I faced so many fears over the years. I did it, Mama, with tears running down my face, all alone, scared, tired, and hungry. But I did it, Mama. But you're not here to see it because you don't deserve to be around such glory. You're the monster in a horror story. I remember all the times I almost died. Can't tell you how many times you've been the reason I cried. But one thing consistent about you, you're always going to lie. And I better not tell my story or express my feelings because you're going to cause a scene and you're going to start to cry. You never made any space safe. You're real good at playing the victim and making everybody else a villain. And then to reel me back in time and time again, you'd hit me with your favorite lines. All I can do is do better next time if you let me. I can't change what's already happened. Oh, how I hate apologies. I despise the words I'm sorry. These words, they're like a curse because somehow you'd always do me one worse. I didn't even say goodbye this last time because I don't want to hear your famous line. I've blocked your number. We won't speak again before your eternal slumber. And by all means, you can send me some money if you're feeling guilty because I'm only like this with you. I had to work my ass off for all of mine. I earned each and every dime. I know you can't repeat that line. You gave birth to a beast. It's crazy you know me the least. And that's all I got for you today.
Taylor, oh, my God, that was powerful. And I can feel your pain in your words. I know that, that part of this has been something that you had to live. All I can say to you is that continue to spill onto your page. Continue to write your words. You have a talent and a gift. And start honing that gift. You speak well. Slow your pace a little bit. Let us savor it for a little bit. but
I know
that was a Lady A, what you got for Taylor?
My heart broke when I heard you, and I agree with Lisa too about just slowing it down a little bit so that we can digest it and really take it in as you're reading, because it's such powerful stuff. And you know, I could relate to almost all of it, and I feel you. I really feel you. And it's hard to, you know, you keep going back and saying maybe this time, maybe this time, maybe this time it'll be different. It never is. And and if you know, you brought yourself up, and I think that the best revenge is success. And in your personal life, in your work life, and whatever you're doing with your life, you can be different than what you were brought up as. That, like, you know what I mean? Your experience doesn't have to define the person that you are. And, you know, you can make it different. You can break that chain and make a whole different life for yourself and for whatever children you have coming into your life. You can be different than what, you can be a different mother than what you experienced having a mother. And, but, you know, I feel, and as Lisa said, I feel your sorrow in this because she's still your mother and you still want your mother's approval. You still want your mother's love. And when it's not there, you have to give it to yourself and share your experience with others so they can love you back too. And this was a really terrific piece. And I'm sorry that you're having to live this experience with your mother. And but you can make life different for yourself. And you know, it's a lonely road, isn't it, when you're traveling that road? But ultimately, it's the best gift you can give yourself. And I really thank you so much for calling in tonight. It was a very poignant, important piece that you shared with us.
Thank you. I'm actually completely appreciate your input. I actually wrote a poem based on that about how I'm going to know how to be a mom because she gave me an example of what not to do or who not to be.
Oh, my gosh. Seriously? I wrote a poem of that exact nature, how not to be a parent. Wow.
And I went from homeless to homeowner. I raised my foster siblings. I played daddy. Your piece and your comment on my piece really means a lot to me because that just honed in on a piece that I actually just sent Podcram earlier today. I was debating reading that one and this one today, but he told me to read the first one. So I really thank you for your feedback.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Please call back again and share your heart with us. It was really, it's important for healing for you.
Yes.
And
absolutely. Epiphany is here for us as poets. There's something going on every night. Feel free to be amongst us and learn from everybody. That's the way you grow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Writing is so cathartic, isn't it? Like you can, all the things, all the sorrow, you can get it out and get it off your chest and be satisfied that, you know what, somebody's listening tonight that's living this with you now that you don't even know, and this piece is helping them right this very moment.
It is a beautiful thought, and I love writing. It does. It's like a weight off your shoulders that the drugs and drinking never did for me, that writing definitely does. And it's something positive to do. Even if the poem is negative, it's a positive feeling to put it on paper instead of into the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. Please call back again.
Most definitely will.
All right. Lady A, you're going to escort her off?
I will, yes. Come on over and we'll have a chat. And I just encourage you to keep being you and keep being strong and keep making a difference in your very own life and ultimately in other people's lives that hear you.
Thank you so much.
One love, one mic.
One love, one mic.
Wow.
Wow. Yes. Oh, my goodness. That was amazing. Really amazing. I think it takes so much courage, you know. You keep stuff bottled up inside all your life, and then all of a sudden you have this freedom with the words that you can put on that paper, and you can fly away with it, and it just is so healing. And, you know, it was a great show. Great show tonight. I'm sorry, you really were breaking up really bad. I don't know what was said.
I said it's always great to have young poets hit the stage.
Yes. Yes. And she's a new caller, so I don't think she's called in before, or has she? Have you heard her before?
I've never seen her before. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
now,
we are about...
called in, and there's two people that 502 and 732. You don't have your hands up, so if you'd like to share a poem, please press 1 and we can get you into the studio. There we go. There's 732. Hello. Welcome to the Inkwell. Who's calling, please?
Hello. Good evening. This is Edwina.
Hello. Welcome.
How's it going?
What's happening, Drip Fam?
Nothing much. I just went to a open mic, and I'm driving up to hang out with the Drip family in the morning. And I saw you guys were still on the air, so I thought I'd come through. I keep missing you because there's always something going on a Friday lately, but I thought I'd come through and see what you guys were doing.
Thank you so much.
As always, we are asking, what moves your pen?
What was that? What soothes your pen?
What moves your pen? What makes you write
what
you write?
Oh, what moves my pen?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. You know what tends to move my pen is, like, I feel like most of the time I'm writing to myself. You know what I mean? And it's like I'm trying to motivate myself or explain a difficult situation to myself. And by encouraging myself, it makes me feel like I'm speaking to other women like me who feel like they might have been voiceless for a long time and putting those words into a way that woman that represents that place where I was, if I can reach her, that's who I'm writing it to. So that really motivates my pen. To just reach someone, to let them to be heard and to be seen in their own individual experience, as, you know, difficult or different or odd as it might be. You know, it's important. So, like, I try to, my intentions is to give voice to the women with no voices.
Absolutely. And we've got about 1 minute left before the Blog Talk lady kicks you off. So if you're listening and you want to jump in, 319-527-6300 and press 1 to get on the mic. Now, we're going to get out of your way, Edwina, because I know I got to make a wide space for you because you tear the mic down.
I know. Appreciate that. What type of vibe are we on tonight with the poetry?
It's up to you. Whatever you want to feel right now.
Okay. Oh, man, I wish I could put music to this one because it's one that I'm working on, so I'm just going to do this out of the world.
All right, the mic is
I
yours.
I wrote this. Oh, okay. This was actually a prompt to write a poem in 20 lines, and I was doing this prostitute on the stroll near my sister's house. And it's called Lady of the Night.
Okay.
All right. This story starts with a thing that was never taken, though it was lost. Lost things are seldom forgotten. You just see them better with your eyes closed. It's why a shrine lives behind eyelids, and I will linger in all that was lost in the cozy cover of its darkness. It's why I own the night, astride lovers who learn my bumps and bruises like braille with sticky fingers and bellies full up on excuses they make for overindulging in something sweet. I'll own the light in his eyes all night long, just watch me, intoxicating his senses with multi-dimensional decadence in tune. I'm his muse, every move is on cue, every arch and buck, every swerve and squeeze, watch him rise and seize. I bring him to his knees. Every inch of him gonna be chopped and screwed and chewed on as I own his skin and passion marks. His pleasure palette will never be the same, and I won't stop until he says my name. Obligating his space made for matters of the heart, relegating in the pleasures of the flesh, a pink matter expression of the beautiful mess we'll make. I blame my loneliness for attempting to connect with lost things like Lot's wife with my eyes closed astride a pile of bones posing as makeshift memorial. I watch his face as he exhales, recognition of my exultance coming into view with the golden light of morning. Do what you will in the dark. Just don't mistake this soul snatcher for the ways of your soulmate or romanticize the spark of wild in her eyes. See, women mourning on repeat to come with warning signs. I thought he'd feel them on my skin, but it was never about me, but and it was never about him. It's the deeds of being searching the edge of reason for proof of life. Like bodies with eyes closed, eye on the night, without the slightest inspection of my reason for being here. My only mission is to use his thick matchstick to ignite my sex magic, opening a portal to places I only know with my eyes closed. And in turn, I'll thank him with my mouth open and pussy pulsing in a token showing of my appreciation for giving me the grace of giving no explanation for why I meet his needs but never his eyes as I alone will own the night.
Whew. I always have to take a breath after I listen to you. You're so intense with your words, and your stories take you on a journey. And that piece, I can't even put the words together. It is so transcendent because you liken such important things to the mentality of a streetwalker.
Mm-hmm. I think it's something that rings through with all of us. Like,
yeah. Lady A?
Oh, Risa.
Oh, Edwina, you just really, it's so enormous, and your words are so huge. We've used the word powerful quite a bit tonight, and this piece was no different. You know, I could feel the mindset of this lady of the night, and, you know, for her reasons why she was out there, and yet you're on the edge of the proof of life, and, you know, he used her, they use these women, and she's meeting his needs, but never his eyes. Like, that was really, you know, like she was nobody, you know, not even worth looking in her eyes, but she gave herself to him for his own needs. And I, you know, it's just got to be this emptiness that comes along with each word. It's just pouring off your verses. And I really, you're an amazing writer. I've always said that anyway. I love your writing. It's just so, enormously in your face, and it's deeper than just this streetwalker person. That's just it's who she is, and you can imagine all kinds of reasons why she's there, and, you know, and I feel like she's dead inside, and this is, you know, this, she's at the edge for the proof of life of her life. This was really something else. I don't know if I hit the nail on the head or if I was out in left field, but this was amazing.
Yeah. You know, I kind of likened it, thinking about the experience of the woman that I was watching and the things that she was doing. And it's like, and I'm reading this book called Sacred Contracts by Carolyn Miss. And she talked about these archetypes that we have in ourselves. And one of them is called the prostitute. And she said, we all have this version of the prostitute in us. And it doesn't mean that you're exchanging your flesh for money, but you exchange your values for compromise sometimes, you know. And after a while, you make so many compromises that you don't really understand. And it's like, I was thinking of her and then thinking about, like, intimacy, people nowadays and how
everybody seemed to make it something other than a sharing of, you know, like it used to be about something that was loving and cherishing and intimate, and now it's just like this carnal act of getting a hit of dopamine, you know what I mean? And it's like people look down on her, but how many, the whole Cheesecake Factory argument and the, whether a man should pay, it's like you were really expecting women to prostitute themselves for your company, but you don't want it to look like it that way. And it's like for her, she's made that decision. She's made that compromise and made peace with the compromise of exchanging this time with this person that she doesn't have any intimate feelings with for this moment of pleasure or to receive whatever she's getting for being with him. And it's like from the outside looking in, it made me think about my own interaction with intimacy as I embark on being single again. And it's like, do I want someone to just share a bed with, or do you want someone that you want to share the intimate piece of yourself with? And it's like, that doesn't necessarily seem to be on the table with a lot of people nowadays. It's just an exchange of flesh. And it's like, you just own the night. You just own the night for a moment. And that's just the way intimacy is portrayed in a lot of us. And I think if you think about her, then you think about yourself and your connection to your intimacy and how easily it's exchanged for things that don't mean as much as giving away such a huge part of yourself. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And
I mean, it's almost like it's a selfishness, you know, like this person, to me, she had a reason for being out there. She was working, you know what I mean? And she probably most likely didn't want to be there or even doesn't want to do what she's doing. And yet she's still trying to survive. And you hear, you know, like she's just a prostitute, she's just a call girl or a streetwalker. But what is he? You know, what is he? This, the need is out there. The demand is there, but it's never a demand that gets looked down upon. It's always her. And
if she should feel empowered in her sexuality in that way, that too is condemned, as we often are when we try to embrace our sexuality in this way, when it is often treated as some sort of a compromise that you owe to a man to give you your attention. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a whole other story. You
wow.
never know if a man gives you too many compliments, it's like you almost owe him at some point to be expected to... You know what I mean? It's just very weird that way in communicating intimacy with people. And it's like, how closely does your relationship to intimacy relate to that woman of the night? That's what I hope that people can take a look at it and think of. Like, am I this prostitute? Am I exchanging this time with me, with the most sacred part of myself, with the man who is giving me trinkets or compliments or something superficial that once he leaves, I'm left a little empty from it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But we don't look at it that way. It's like we almost owe him our body, and then what do you get in return? And then what are you left with? Not that
Nothing.
Much different when you treat it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what all of that
is. It's amazing, isn't it? And it's an old thing going on since the beginning of time, you know?
Yeah.
And women get the brunt of it all. Men, and it's a double standard. And you know, they get what they want. Most definitely, she's not. Like she's not. She's working. You know, and she probably hates it. It's not. That's how I viewed it, anyways. And is that it wasn't even like she was trying. You know, like wasn't even a sexual pleasure thing. It was just she had to do it just to make the cash or whatever the deal was, and she's surviving.
Oh.
Wow.
But like, how does he do that and feel empowered enough to still feel? You know what I mean? It's like you have to compromise something deeper
ingest that time inside of yourself. And I think we too many of us do, that aren't just a lady of the night. We make ourselves a lady of the night for the night.
Yeah.
To people that don't really mean that much to us. So that's what I try to do a lot of times when I write. It's like, okay, I'm not going to make it me, and I'm not going to make it you, but I'm going to make it somebody that you judge, and I want you to see how quickly, empathically, you relate to that person enough to, because, you know, if you point a finger, someone will get mad, and if you point a finger at yourself, then people feel sorry for you. But if you look at this third person that is invisible and just analyze the nature of that person, then you could reanalyze yourself through that person, because a little bit of each of us and everybody that we meet. I'm talking too much. I'm sorry. I've had wine.
No, no. Oh, great. Holy cow. You know,
you're fine.
Yeah.
Edwina,
all right,
I always
ladies. Well, thank you so much.
I always appreciate you coming through.
Oh, thank you. Glad to be here. It was great to hear your voice and spend some time. I'm going to get on out of the way in case anyone else is on the mic. Good to hear your voice tonight.
Again.
All right. Thank
no
you, Edwina. Let me lead you on over here to the school.
All right.
One love, one.
One love, one mic.
One love, one mic.
Wow.
Wow, she's amazing. She's so amazing. I love her.
We've had the power players kicking in here at the end.
Yes, yes. It's a great show.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
No, no, it's okay. I was just going to say thanks to you for hosting our show tonight and for all the callers that called in and the wonderful, powerful pieces of poetry. It's amazing.
Yeah, and I appreciate you as well for being here with me. I actually have an announcement for myself. If anybody is listening in the Mobile, Alabama area, I will be live on the mic tomorrow night. I am going to Black on Black Poets. Step to the Mic Poetry Troupe is sponsoring a show at the Mobile Blend Nutrition Hub. And the cover is just $10. And come through and listen to some poetry live and make yourselves a couple of smoothies and enjoy the night.
Oh, that sounds so exciting.
Yeah.
Wishing you all the best in that. Now, is it something that somebody like me can listen to it somewhere live, or do you have to be actually present in the setting?
It's a live show. I don't think that there's a feed anywhere for it.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure people will be posting things, so it'll be parts of it will be everywhere. And this is my first time in stepping on the stage with on Black on Black Rhymes and Step to the Mic Poetry. So it's all brand new to me. This is my first go at what they do. They are actually
You'll do well. Wow. Look forward to hearing about it afterwards.
They do this live show monthly and in Mobile, and I'm looking forward to it.
Excellent. Thank you so much for a great evening. It was fun sharing this evening with you. It always is. Always interesting and a lot of fun. And we had some great poetry.
Absolutely. It was fire in here tonight.
Thank you, Edwina, and Just Jay and Anthony and Paul and I'm sure I miss other people that called in. I apologize, but we do appreciate everyone that called in and those of you that just stayed on the line to listen. And I thank you again, my friend.
Yes, and encouragement to our newest poet tonight, Taylor. I hope to hear you many, many more times.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, guys, it's been a beautiful evening, and I thank you all. And we're going to send you out of here with a little bit of music, okay? Have a great one, and we will see you next Friday.
Yes. Good night, everyone.
Beautiful, oh.